What I said before the prayer, I said a brief editorial before the prayer, that's good. Sundays have changed over the years, really they have. And I can remember hearing a friend of mine talk about when he was growing up in a little town in the church that he went to, and the minister would start preaching, and usually 2 hours later he finished. And then they had the afternoon for a picnic, and then they went back in for the evening service, and he preached another 2 hours. He said, we finally went home. I said, what were the sermons about? He said, I have no idea. You know, when you sit for 2 hours listening to someone, your brain gets numb, doesn't it? It's true. Sundays have changed. They've changed a lot. I remember growing up in a very good Christian home. It was with my grandma and grandpa. We lived on one side of the house. They lived on the other. And I remember it was probably before first grade, but I remember what Sunday afternoon you didn't do anything. You really didn't. And I can remember my grandmother making sure nobody did everything. And I can remember Dad getting a deck of cards to play solitaire, and he just bawled him out good because he was playing cards on the Lord's Day. I think that's why I never learned to play cards. But I remember Sundays like this. Then, after World War II, changes did occur. Changes that came pretty rapidly. Little changes that changed Sunday. There was Sunday matinee. Before, the movie theater was never open on a Sunday. Then you had Sunday afternoon. You could go to the movies. And how great that was. It was very upsetting for my grandmother, that's for sure. But I can remember that. But then remember, we've kind of butchered Sunday anyway. Now, what is the Lord's Day you've got to keep? I can remember one fellow, you've got to keep the Lord's Day. And the Lord's Day really was what? Every day. Yes, every day. As Christians, that's really what it is. And then you can fuss with the Seventh-day Adventists who say we're wrong because the Lord's Day is Saturday. Monday, you can do whatever you want. But the church changed way long time ago and grabbed Sunday and made that really the Sabbath because of the resurrection. That's the Lord's Day. Church said it. Nobody argued. Nobody argued. Then over the years, the things you don't do on the Lord's Day, that became our criteria. That was man-made. What you don't do on the Lord's Day. Christians don't have a list of things you don't do. We created that. No cards, don't go to the movies, you just stay home and sit down. I remember my first summer of field work in the Shenandoah Valley. In Greenville, Virginia, and I had the chapel, which was run by the Bethel Presbyterian Church, south of Stanton, Virginia. In the little town of Greenville, back in the woods, was the little chapel. And it was the Thompson family who were the leaders of the church. And literally everybody was related to Grandpa Thompson. Everybody. So you better be careful what you say about the Thompsons. And I remember Grandpa, when I went out from seminary to be interviewed, and he said, you're going to come to our house for dinner after church. Oh, that's nice. My wife, Joy, couldn't come with me. She was stayed in Richmond because she had papers to grade as a teacher. So I went to dinner, and they said, you can sit in the parlor before dinner is served. The parlor. It's this big old farmhouse, and I went in the parlor by myself. It didn't look like anybody had ever been in the parlor. I said, well, what do you use the parlor for? And she says, well, we use that special occasions. That's for Christmas, that's for Easter, and that's for funerals. And ministers. You're our honored guest. And then we went into the dining room, and I had a seat at the end of the table where Grandma used to sit, because that was my seat of honor. It was Sunday, and the preacher's here. And they served dinner. And first they brought in a big roast beef, and then tripe. That really went over big with this city boy. I'm not a big tripe eater. The roast beef was all right, but the tripe, somehow it lost a lot in translation. At least there were no ramps. See her laughing. Sunday, special occasion. What do you do on Sunday? How many of you go home and cut the grass? We have a neighbor that insists on cutting his grass on Sunday. I'm going to start picketing. Sunday. That's our lesson. What happens on the Lord's Day? What happens on the Sabbath? Open your Bibles to Luke. This is a good lesson. The 13th chapter, verses 10 through 17. And you'll see in your Bibles a crippled woman who's healed on the Sabbath. How wonderful, we say. Well, on a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who'd been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, woman, you're set free from your infirmity. Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, there are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath. The Lord answered him, you hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out and give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for 18 years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her? When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with the wonderful things he was doing. The people were delighted with the wonderful things he was doing on the Sabbath day. Jesus was rebuked by the synagogue leader for healing on the Sabbath. And in those days, following the letter of the law to the extreme, was taken for granted. You had to follow the law for the Sabbath because that's the way it was always. Even today, we have church groups who make judgment like this regarding people and not just their Sabbath day, but their whole idea of faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus replied, putting those leaders to shame, and well, he should, because the Sabbath is in your mind and ought to be a faith that goes day by day by change, not by rote, not by memory, not by habit, and not by a list of things you can and can't do. This is the last time we hear of Jesus in a synagogue, because he was watched carefully by the leaders who were waiting to prove his many mistakes that they saw, so that they could condemn him, rightfully so, toward the cross, the crucifixion. They wanted to pounce on him. And since healing was work, what else would this strange Nazarene do? He could do just about anything on the Sabbath day and break all the rules. He would break all of them. How terrible of him. How terrible. But Jesus just pointed out something nice. You already care for the animals. Aren't human beings more important than animals? Wouldn't you want to be more caring and more loving than you are to an ox or a donkey? He made it as a matter of fact. Made it as a matter of fact. You see, the leaders love system. They love system more than people. They were more concerned that their little petty laws were observed than a woman should be helped. Remember, by this time, they were observing over 360 food laws alone. Food laws. What you could and what you couldn't. So tied that together with a whole list of things that you could do on the Sabbath and couldn't do on the Sabbath. And it became sort of like in American history, the witch hunt in New England that we read about. You'll be condemned if you do any of these wrong on the Sabbath day. Well, that's what they loved. They loved system, and they loved laws, and they loved lists. Why should a woman be helped? You know, in Christianity, more than any of the religions of the world, and all of them blame themselves on God one way or another, but in Christianity, the individual comes before the system. And it's true to say that without Christianity, there can be no such thing as democracy. There can be no such thing as what? The value of an ordinary individual according to just what society dictates. If ever Christian principles are ignored in both political and economic life, nothing is left to keep at bay the totalitarian state where the individual is lost in the system, lost totally in the system, and existed only for the system, which is what happened in Nazi Germany, which is what happened in communist Russia, which is what happens and is happening in Syria. In going over all of those countries, the person is no count except by the system. Strangely enough, the worship of system invades the church. Aren't we aware of that? You bet we are. There are church people who call themselves Christian, but who are more concerned with church government and rules and habit and system than they are with worship of God and service to mankind. More trouble comes to church over legalism than anything else. More trouble faced by this denomination has been over legal arguments. and by service to Jesus Christ. Jesus' action in this lesson is remarkable. And it reminded me of that ancient proverb, and I had trouble finding it because I remembered it, but I couldn't remember how it was worded. No helpful deed that we can do today should be postponed until tomorrow. This is what Christ is saying. Aren't people more important than an ox and a donkey? God our Father, forgive us when we treat one another badly, when we make up stories, when we fabricate truths, when we make up laws and half-baked ideas on what's going to improve their life, not ours. Oh God, forgive us. And like those good synagogue leaders a long time ago, teach us in Christ how to be responsible to one another and to our world for the glory that really is Christ, our Savior. Amen.